You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our Lord for this opportunity this evening to spend some time alone with Him, to prepare our hearts for His coming. It's an opportunity for us to set aside all our concerns, our worries, maybe some of those concerns I was talking about before, preparing for Christmas, the gifts, the decorations, the family planning, all those things. It's a moment for us to stop, set that aside, and try to focus on the most important, the essential thing this evening. You're only going to get out of Christmas as much as you put into it. And so, in a special way, our Lord is going to bless you for setting aside this time this evening to be with Him. Advent is a time of preparation and great expectation. We need to prepare our hearts because in order to see the birth of Christ, we must rid our hearts of all worldly worries and live with eyes of faith. God is coming to save mankind. Will He find faith when He comes? Great expectation. Our history is about to be changed forever. We are no longer condemned to our sinful ways, but salvation and eternal life are possible. Heaven is real. We belong to God once again. This is what we are going to celebrate in the mystery of the Incarnation. Recently, I received an email from one of my nieces. She sends me all these little cartoon drawing type things. Some of them are pretty useless, I have to say. As you just delete it, as soon as you see it, because there's really nothing there. But every once in a while, there's a good one. And I have to say, recently, this last one she sent to me, it's been a great source of prayer. You'd never guess a little cartoon drawing would do that. But this one, it's really, there's something there that stuck out, and it's really stuck. It was our Lord standing before five men and different types, as you have the tall, skinny one, the short, little overweight one, maybe the in-between one, you know, representing five different people, basically. It also showed their heart, the image of the heart. And then in their heart, in each one of them, was a different type of housing or building. You see one with this nice, beautiful mansion. Then you see the small, skinny, scrawny one, and inside you just see the stable. Then another one with a six-story apartment building, etc. Five different types. And our Lord, looking at the five of them, has His finger pointing on that small, skinny man with the stable. I think this image can help us in the reflection we're going to make this evening in preparation for Christmas. There's a double meaning there. It's not just one. Yes, it's revealing Christ is, He's choosing where He's going to be born, as in a stable. He chooses to come in a humble way. He's not going to choose that which sticks out so everyone thinks, this is God. He chooses the simple, the humble way. But that stable is inside someone's heart. And that's where it's the second part of this message. God didn't come to be born in the perfect, those without any need. He came to be born in the heart of the one who recognizes His needs, the one in need, the sinful person. The one who needs to experience that love so as to be able to love. So we see God's humility, but at the same time, our need for humility. Unless we see ourselves as weak and sinful, not perfect, only then will we experience that need for God and for Him to be born in our hearts. Now I'm going to read the gospel passage, one that we usually use on Christmas Day. It's not that we're celebrating Christmas now, but it's an opportunity for us to start meditating and getting ready for it. Sometimes we can wait till Christmas Day and say, finally, okay, now we can think about the birth of Christ. But one day is not enough. It's something we need to start preparing for now. What's taking place? This is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news and great joy that will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Christ is our model of humility. Joseph went from house to house, only to find each one too crowded. He searched in vain for a place where he to whom heaven and earth belong might be born. Could it be that the Creator would not find a home in all of creation? Up a steep hill, Joseph climbed to a faint light which swung on a rope across the doorway. This would be the village inn. There, above all other places, he would surely find shelter. There was room in the inn for the soldiers of Rome who had brutally subjugated the Jewish people. There was room for the daughters of the rich merchants of the East. There was room for those clothed with soft garments who lived in the houses of the kings. In fact, there was room for anyone who had a coin to give to the innkeeper. But there was no room for him who came to be the inn of every homeless heart in today's world. When finally the scrolls of history are completed down to the last words in time, the saddest line of all will be, "There was no room for him in the inn." Of every other child that is born into the world, friends can say that it resembles his mother. This was the first instance in time that anyone could say that the mother resembled the child. This is a beautiful paradox of the child who made his mother. The mother, too, was only a child. It was also the first time in history of this world that anyone could ever think of heaven as being anywhere else than somewhere up there. When the child was in her arms, Mary now looked down to heaven. In the filthiest place in the world, a stable, purity was born. Yes, there was no room in the inn, but there was room in the stable. The inn is the gathering place of public opinion, the focal point of the world's moods, the rendezvous of the worldly, the rallying place of the popular and the successful. But the stable, that's the place for the outcast, the ignored, the forgotten. The world might have expected the Son of God to be born, if he was to be born at all, in an inn. A stable would be the last place in the world where one would have looked for him. And here's the secret. Divinity is always where one least expects to find it. No worldly mind would ever have suspected that he who could make the sun warm the earth would one day have the need of an ox and an ass to warm him with their breath. And that is precisely why so many miss him. Divinity is always where one least expects to find it. The Son of God made man was invited to enter his own world through a back door. Exiled from earth, he was born under the earth, in a sense the first caveman in recorded history. There he shook the earth to its very foundations. Because he was born in a cave, all who wished to see him must stoop. To stoop is a mark of humility. The proud refuse to stoop, and therefore they miss divinity. Those, however, who bend their egos and enter, find that they are not in a cave at all, but in a new universe where sits a babe on his mother's lap, with the world poised on his fingers. The manger and the cross thus stand at two extremities of the Savior's life. He accepted the manger because there was no room in the inn. He accepted the cross because men said, "We will not have this man for our king." Disowned upon entering, rejected upon leaving, he was laid in a stranger's stable at the beginning, and a stranger's grave at the end. An ox and an ass surround his crib at Bethlehem. Two thieves were to flank his cross on Calvary. He was wrapped in swaddling bands in his birthplace. He was again laid in swaddling clothes in his tomb. If he who is omnipotent had come with thunderbolts, there would have been no sign. There is no sign unless something happens contrary to nature. The brightness of the sun is no sign, but an eclipse is. He said that on the last day his coming would be heralded by signs in the sun, perhaps in an extinction of light. At Bethlehem, the divine sun went in an eclipse, so that only the humble of spirit might recognize him. And finally, only two classes of people found the babe: the shepherds and the wise men, the simple and the learned, those who knew that they knew nothing, and those who knew that they did not know everything. Not even God can tell the proud anything. Only the humble can find God. And so I'd like to invite all of you to take a brief moment to pray about this, to learn from Christ in his the way he chose to come into this world, what his coming means for me, what I hope it means for me, and also what it should mean for me, that my faith grow, that I see the beauty of this gift, that it be a moment he strengthens our faith so that we are capable of discovering divinity, as mentioned before, and that place where we least expect to find it. Only faith is going to allow us to be strong enough to see him when he comes, so that he can be born into our hearts. We'll have a brief moment of personal prayer, and then we'll continue with this reflection.